You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Of course, we do the show this week with a heavy heart with all the flooding here in Houston. To make matters worse, those of us who have friends and people in the Caribbean and Puerto Rico, they are absolutely getting devastated. I'm just hearing and seeing stuff I don't even want to mention on the air here about down there. But there is a lot of great things that have been going on here in Houston when it comes to humanity, and it's been very awe-inspiring. Just a reminder, places to donate, redcross.org, Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, GHCF.org. GHCF.org. That's put together by the city and the mayor, Sylvester Turner, America Cares, Salvation Army, the Houston Food Bank, Houston Humane Society as well. We're collecting school supplies at Soccer Matters Pubs, which is the King's Court and the Gorgeous Gale. So school supplies there. Lots of events coming up. King's Court will have a pro players event on Friday night. Pre and post game for Dynamo at both places. You got Premier League at both places coming up this weekend. And both the King's Court and the Gorgeous Gale are great supporters of this show. Tom Clare, our good friend, is battling cancer. So if you get over to Facebook, Tom Clare, you can see there's a GoFundMe there. He's well over, I think, $14,000. I think it's incredibly incredibly important that we help this man because he's helped the community. And the irony is that he helped set up an event for pediatric cancer that brought over Norman Whiteside, the former Manchester United player, and Chelsea's Bobby Tambling. So maybe we can step up for him. But there's just so many things going on here. And really the positive side of it is the light that humanity has provided, helping each other, supporting each other, and I'm sure that's going to go on in the Caribbean as well. So tough times here in Houston, but we're digging out of it, and as we all have been saying, we are Houston strong. So let's get into a quick phone call with Victor, and then I'm going to introduce three special guests that are in here in studio, and we're going to banter it about. Victor, what's on your mind here?
Hey, Glenn. Pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show here today. Calling here representing the Houston Kool-Aids. The FC Barcelona supporters group, and really just wanted to see if you were interested in a story, because really I've been touched by the outreach of people reaching out to me here in Houston as a member of the supporters group here in for FC Barcelona in Houston. I've been reached out by our friends and all the way out in San Francisco and Chicago and all the other Peñas out there reaching out to asking how we're doing here. And the San Francisco Peña took it upon themselves to ask me, you know, where's a good place to donate some money? We want to do something. And so in partnership with them, they put together a crowdfunding page to donate to the Houston Food Bank. And we are currently have got that is being circulated across all the Peñas across America and the North Americas, from Mexico City to New York and Miami. So we're real excited. Just again,
can you direct us to that
to
page?
How much the people care out there.
That's amazing, and that's a good rallying by you guys. Can you direct us to that page, Victor?
Yeah, you can find it. Just go to facebook.com/ Houston Kool-Aids. That page has the most recent post on it has the link. We're using the same platform JJ is with the Ucarian site. And again, you can donate there if you feel like. And again, all the proceeds 100% are going to the Houston Food Bank.
And Kool-Aids is spelled C-U-L-E-S.
Yep, that's facebook.com/ Houston, C-U-L-E-S.
Is there any way you can post that on Facebook Soccer Matters?
You got it, man. I'll post it your way.
Can you put it over there? Perfect. Victor, thank you very much. That's a great show of support. We appreciate that, and great to see people continuing to reach out around the country.
Very good. Again, thanks for all you do, Glenn.
Okay, Victor, likewise. Great job. Thank you. All right, so let me introduce guests. We got from the Houston Dash, one of the very talented Houston Dash players who Janine played at Texas Tech. Janine Becky joining us here tonight. Janine, thank you. Appreciate you being in studio here tonight. We've got the former communications man of the Houston Dynamo, play-by-play on the Dynamo radio, also now a play-by-play man for the NWSL and the USL. He's the one and only Matt Peterson. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to recount your story in Florida. And then from What's the Score, and you can catch that over on Facebook, What's the Score? Bogdan Passat, long time here in Houston, long time friend of mine. Bogdan, welcome in.
Thanks for joining me. You know, Craig Roberts is monitoring this, and he officially said you ran out of guests.
He did? He did? He's probably pining for an opportunity. We'll get Craig in here. I would like to have Craig in here, actually, because Craig has a great take on sports, one of our legendary Houston commentators. And in that case, I want to lead into some of the theme of what's been going on here throughout the week, and that is kind of shining the light on people and how they've helped each other during Hurricane Harvey. So, Janine, you are coming in here tonight, and we're going to talk some Dash soccer as well, but I want you to first talk a little bit about what you took upon yourself personally here to do some fundraising.
Yeah, what I've been saying to those who have asked is that I felt a little bit helpless watching everything happen. I was lucky enough to be able to get out of here the Friday before the Saturday that the storm hit, so I was lucky for that, but I had a lot of anxiety because we had majority of our team and our staff here. And it just was really hard to see, you know, Snapchats and things on social media, videos, and to know what was going on here and to not be able to be here to make a difference, although most were trapped inside. But I just got back in town on Monday and have seen some of the devastation, and it's just been really hard to see. So, you know, I just did what I thought I could, and I got with Edgar, and we started a GoFundMe page. Originally, the goal was $5,000. I quickly bumped that to $10,000. Reached out to lots of friends, family, had an incredible response and people sharing the link, and I've actually bumped the goal to $12,000, and I'm currently sitting at $11,659, which I know we will get to 12, so hopefully in the next coming days I'll hope to bump that maybe $1,000 or $2,000 more, but it's been incredible.
Fantastic. I want to mention a couple of other things about Janine. Janine is a Canadian international, played in the Rio Olympics. You know, she's a Houston player here. She went to Texas Tech, played for a friend of mine, Tom Stone. Tom gets a little intense, doesn't he?
He does.
I bet you got a few good stories from practice sessions with Tom. But Tom is one of the very talented, not only college coaches, but has done a lot of things at the youth development level as well. Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Tell me a little bit about growing up there and playing soccer there.
Yeah, I grew up playing for Real Colorado, obviously a big club out of Colorado, have some great contacts back there. I was there from when I was born to when I was 17, so born and raised in Colorado, which is a fantastic place to live, and then, yeah, I got recruited by Tom Stone and headed down south, and haven't left since.
To play in an Olympics, what did that mean to you?
It was a little surreal, obviously, at 22. Well, 21. I turned 22 about the day after we won bronze. So that was a pretty special birthday gift. But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a whirlwind of 2 years. I was in with the team prior to the World Cup, and I was actually the last cut from the World Cup roster. So that was probably the biggest blow of my soccer career. And then to turn around and, you know, be back with the team prior to the Olympics, and John Herdman really saying, look, we want you to push. We see this, and this in you, and we want you to be part of our journey to Rio, but you have to earn it. And so I got back in with the team late 2015, November, December, and just pushed to make the roster, and probably had the best point of my soccer career leading up to those Olympics, and definitely a tournament, a span of a couple weeks that I'll never forget.
Janine Becky, Houston Dash in studio here, also Canadian international. So before I move on to Matt, when you're told as the last person who gets cut from the team, and I'm sure it ended up being probably very motivating. I'm not putting words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. I just have a feeling you might tell me that. How do they tell you that?
We had meetings.
I mean, did they kind of nudge you out the door with, you can be back here, here's what maybe we recommend? Did they nudge you out the door in a way that said, you know, they're still going to monitor me and I got a shot at making it again?
Yeah, it wasn't a kick to the curb, right? You're done, this was your only
Not
chance
a drop
kind
kick.
Of thing.
I've been drop kicked out the door a few times.
I feel like that's happened to all of us at some point. Yeah, the great thing about what happened in 2015 is about 3 weeks after I was cut, the leading up to the Pan American Games was happening, and the Pan Am Games was going on in Canada, in Toronto. So they approached me with this is, you know, we want you to lead this team. This is going to be a team of young players. We're going to make a really young roster, and it's going to be a tough tournament from that standpoint, and we want you to be a leader on this team now that you had senior team experience. And so, you know, in the midst of having one of the biggest blows to my career, here's an opportunity to go and lead a team and, you know, wear the crest and wear the colors. Obviously disappointed that it was going to be post-World Cup. I was an alternate for that team, so really followed them closely and was excited to see what they could do in the home country. But they definitely were like, look, this isn't the end for you. We see a lot of potential, but we just don't feel like you're ready. And I will tell anyone who ever asks, John Herdman was completely right. I was not ready to play in that tournament. And it was one of the most motivating things that I've ever been through. So to turn around and to play in the Olympics the next year, the next summer, that'll be one of the best stories of my career.
And congratulations, too, on this work in fundraising. We're going to get back to you. We're going to get this flowing. I'm just getting everybody involved here to start. Now I go to Matt Peterson. You didn't have the best of weeks when it comes to being away from a wife and a newborn baby during Hurricane Harvey. It had to be a little bit of a mental play there, wasn't there?
Yeah, it certainly was. You just felt like you really couldn't help out. You try to call and make sure everyone's okay. But fortunately, they were fine. The house didn't flood. They were safe. Had some good neighbors helping out. But probably the harder one was my brother and his wife and their two kids, 2 years and younger. Their house flooded on the first night, the Saturday night. And they were taken. They took refuge down the street. A wonderful neighbor took in a total of 28 neighbors and 11 dogs. And they stayed with them for a few days. And
unbelievable.
Now they're back in their old apartment while they assess their options. But it was really tough to see them go through that, but they were strong and they had neighbors to help and they were safe the entire time. So all things considered, it's not too bad.
Good, good. That's a tremendous attitude. And you had told me about your brother, so I'm hoping everything works out well for him. All right, Bogdan, what about your thoughts on Hurricane Harvey? You made it through okay, right? But I did see a video of you. And by the way, Twitter and Facebook and social media, we may not like it for certain things. And, you know, I may not like it when the guy's telling me, well, I'm having a 102-degree latte at Starbucks. But, boy, for situations like this, how good has Facebook and Twitter been? So I saw you on doing a little right testimony the weekend, with the road flooded. Yeah. Tell me about your situation.
We were in Siena, so that was one of the hardest hit. And as it stands right now, both Riverstone and Siena, hoity-toity neighborhoods, but, you know, to see those things happen, it was just mind-numbing. We made it okay. It was a mandatory evacuation for a lot of us. We made the conscious decision to stay. We were a little bit frustrated with the system, but, you know, all that just goes by the wayside when you realize that you're pretty fortunate. I've been here, what, 30-some, 32, 33 years. I've never seen anything like this. I'm familiar with Houston. You too. You know we flood fairly quickly. But what comes out of this really, and I've said this many times, is how this community has come together in light of how divided and everything has been with a political scene. I think that's what we all probably take out of this. I mean, there's so many stories, but ultimately it's how everybody stepped up to help and, like you said, take in strangers and pets and so forth. And honestly, one of the worst feelings probably is just being stuck somewhere, not being able to help and seeing these things.
Yeah.
You know, and for athletes especially with stuff, you know, the Astros were on the road, as you guys remember. It's just a lot of things. But yeah, thank God everybody was safe. And it just people coming up in opening their checkbooks and coming
and
in.
Still.
And still
donating. And I think it's just as important now to continue to solicit the donations and in this time. I went through Allison, and I got flooded out in the first floor. I mean, I remember sitting on a stairwell watching the water rise to almost 3 feet. And you're just sitting there, and you're helpless, and there's nothing you can do. I never thought there could be a harder rain than that, and this blew it out of the water. So,
50. I mean, we're looking at Irma inches. Coming in right now, right?
Irma's
and it's supposed to dump what 5 to 10 inches of rain in Florida, mm-hmm. and we got 50. It just puts things in.
Yeah, Irma's about wind.
Oh, absolutely,
Irma's about wind. This in our town, it's always about water. All right, let's get into some soccer topics here, and let's free flow here a little bit because I do want to talk to all of you. Did everybody here see the U.S. Honduras game? Okay, so let's start with you, Janine. What is some of your takeaway from that game?
I didn't get to watch the whole thing. Was a little bit busy during, but you know, obviously, I've listened to some talk afterwards, seen some things on ESPN FC, and something that I heard actually earlier tonight is just the disappointment. And when you compare this group, who now Bruce Arena has found so much talent in every position, probably more talent than American soccer has ever seen, and you compare it to years ago when there's guys playing American soccer that are being told, you're American, you can't play, you don't know how to play this game, and they knew what it was like to fight and to prove themselves, and they're, you know, there's talk that this group's missing that, and that's exactly, you know, what you see when you see a game where you go into a hostile environment and you want to play your brand of soccer, and it's almost sometimes impossible, and I've experienced that, and I know a lot of other players have as well. And I mean, obviously, you look at someone like Bobby Wood, who came in and made an immediate impact and got the job done from a sense of taking a point out of that kind of environment, is a good result for them when you look at the game and the environment and things like that. But I think you left a lot of American fans disappointed, to say the least. And now the World Cup hopes are hanging on a string a bit. So I think there's a lot of takeaways. Obviously, disappointment is the most obvious, but I think, obviously, as a player, you always know that there's so much more that goes into it.
Playing on that theme of disappointment, I look at it as two games, and I am disappointed. And when we come back, Matt, we'll start with you, then Bogdan, we'll start with you. And I want you to consider how much of this is on a manager, how much of this is on players. I know what I think. I want to hear what you think when we come back. Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Soc. This is Soccer Matters. It's your show. If you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let me tell you about Azure Salon. It's spelled A-Z-U-R. It's in the heart of River Oaks. It's in West Ave Shopping. The stylists at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for television. That is not easy to do, but they do it. Azure Salon is the place to go, guys. You can get your haircuts there. Ladies, they've got you covered with colors, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. And when we come back, I'll remind you about how important Bud Light is to this program.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
As the host of Soccer Matters, I remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. I got great friends in here tonight, Janine, Becky, Matt Peterson, Bogdan Passat. We don't have any Bud Lights, but we could arrange for some Bud Lights sometime. You know what? I should have a case delivered up here. Why not? I'm Soccer Matters. It's Glenn Davis. It's Matt Peterson, Bogdan Passat, and Janine Becky. Bud Light, are you listening? All right. They are great sponsors, though, by the way. They've been with me since the beginning. Camilo Rojas and company over there, they are big supporters of soccer here in Houston. So I remind you, get your friends, get an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights. Doesn't matter whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. It's not about parties. It's about the friends you've made along the way. We've made a lot of friends here since this hurricane came here and flooded out our city. And I think we've made a lot of friends that we had not made friends with before and will remain friends with. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. All right, so we go to Matt Peterson, play-by-play man. Give us your thoughts again. I left you at the commercial break with diagnosing the two games and looking at it as a two-game set with the national team. Do we just have to now, Matt, realize, hey, look, we're maybe not as good as we think we are?
Yeah, I think so. I think the player pool hasn't changed much in, like, the last 5 years. Go back to 2012. Remember the panic when Alan Gordon came off the bench, I think, and scored a big goal in Jamaica or Antigua Barbuda, a Caribbean country, and it was the round before the hexagonal, and the U.S. was in a similar position as now, and they got out of it, and they cruised through. I think soccer, more than any other sport, people overreact to results. when the U.S. is winning a Gold Cup, people are saying, hey, we're there. We're getting closer. We love our players. The media is in love with the coach. And then you have a bad run of results, and suddenly they're the worst players ever. The coach needs to go. And I think you just need to look at 2012 or so till now. The group of players is basically the same. How many players have changed? I mean, Pulisic's come in. Bobby Woods emerged. There's a few others, Areola. But the core is the same. So I think we should basically expect similar results as previously. This team's capable of having a great game. It's capable of having a really bad game. And I think what we've seen over the last year or so is probably a little bit of everything.
Bogdan, how about your thoughts on the two games?
I kind of want to second what he said. Is just the team, it's funny because I think soccer has arrived when we're talking already about dismissing coaches, right? Because that's always been the love affair with soccer has never really been kind of how it is overseas, where people just live and breathe it, right? But in particular with these two games...
I'm going to stop you there. People live it and breathe it here now, too.
No, but that's what I mean. In the past, it was all fun and games. It's like, oh, everything is good. Now you expect more from the team, I guess. That was my point.
So that's healthy.
Yeah, that's healthy. I think those are some missed opportunities. I don't know that I can put a lot on the arena. I mean, you can break down the game any way you wish, but the big Bobby Wood goal was probably rescued our campaign for the World Cup. And, you know, in the Costa Rica, they got chances. They just couldn't finish. I mean, it's just how do we look at them? You know, how do you really
I thought
analyze?
They were outplayed all over the place against Costa Rica. I also thought Keylor Navas was going to have to make a big save or two, which I think everybody knows he's capable. He's the goalkeeper for Real Madrid. But I thought the U.S. was outfought, outdesired. Tactically, I thought Ramirez, right? The coach of Costa Rica. Hands down, whips Bruce Arena in the tactical category in that game. I don't think the U.S. was prepared for them coming out push, because I think that everybody was pretty content to think that the U.S. was going to face a team that was going to sit back real deep. And I thought they picked and choose their moments to press. I thought they came out very lively. Urania has 3 goals in 2 games. You had a bunch of mistakes at the back from the Dynamo, which looked to me like your brains weren't turned on, quite frankly. They were basic 101 mistakes from center backs, which that must have been, and he's a friend of mine, Jeff Cameron, but that must have been the worst game I've ever seen him play in a national team uniform.
Got replaced in the follow-up game, and there was another.
Well, I think that was the plan, though. I think the plan was the European guys, and then you flipping it with Beisler. But the center back position was a detriment. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to weigh in on that? Not to be the negative Nelly here, but I think we have to be truthful, right?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to the player pool. I think the pool is good, not great. I think on their best day, there was a headline I remember, the U.S. beat Mexico, a 1-2-0 in a friendly once. And the question on MLSsoccer.com was, is Michael Bradley the best player in CONCACAF? Because he had probably his best game. And that's the standard that everyone holds him to. Why doesn't he have that kind of game every night? But that's not the kind of player he is, right? He's going to have good games, bad games, things like that. And I think the player pool is what it is. It's a strong pool. It's relatively deep, but you know, you hear Landon Donovan talk about it. How many difference makers are there in the team? How many difference makers are there in the starting lineup, or they come off the bench that can win you a game? And I think right now the guys that can win the game are a Pulisic, are a Bobby Wood. Josie can score an unbelievable goal time and time again. Bradley has big goals, but you're kind of relying on just a few guys.
Clint. Sounds like the same question to me, Janine.
Yeah.
We're always saying, when are we going to produce more game changers in the United States? Now, we have Pulisic, and he's our golden goose right now, and we're all pinning our hopes on him, and we think he's going to take us to the promised land. That's a lot to put on an 18-year-old, but I'm wondering, when does that narrative ever change?
I think it's the same thing that was mentioned before, just the when you see a Gold Cup performance from the U.S. and you get high on that.
Was it that good of a performance?
I feel like American fans, it's that you see those sparks like...
We're drinking that. We're drinking the juice, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're drinking that. We're drinking that potion, aren't we?
You see players like Jordan Morris who has started to come into his own, and you say, you know, is this the team? And it's not that different of a pool, like you said. And then you have a performance like the last 2 games, and then it's like... high on Gold Cup and then so disappointed. And it's so – there's not very many things in between. And when you see Gold Cup performance that soccer analysts might say, okay, here's the problem. Soccer fans, those issues, those tactical issues, those backline issues are somewhat masked. And then you see the breakdown that happens in these two games, where as a player you say – as someone on the bench, so they switched the back line in both games, you have the same problems. And you say, okay, well, that had to have been addressed. Are you, you know, are you not paying attention to those things in training? Because as a player, I'm hypersensitive to those things. When it's happened to us once and then it happens to you again, it's how do you let that happen almost? And I mean, I've been in that position before, but it's, like you said, a disappointing blanket feeling.
So, Bogdan, I'm going to take it to the Gold Cup, which the U.S. won. It was a very interesting concept. Bruce Arena was using a lot of different players. So he used the group phase as an opportunity to assess players, right? Then he brought in the cavalry to win the thing with Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore. Who am I missing here, Matt? Am I missing somebody?
Howard.
Tim Howard. Okay. So then he brings in the cavalry. So is it even fair to judge him off the Gold Cup?
I said that in the beginning. I really had a problem with that. I thought that, oh, this is good. He's going through the group stage with what I thought it was, I don't know, I guess he was just testing the waters. And I felt that those guys have earned to go to the knockout phases. I mean, but I guess it was important for them to win it. They lost it kind of embarrassingly last time. I think you're caught, which is like Klinsmann. I still have this image that Klinsmann could have done so much more, but he didn't, that... When is it a good time to test? And I'm very sensitive to this because Romania is in a very similar situation. I mean, they're terrible right now. But when do you have time to reset?
Yeah, but Romania is not putting any money into soccer.
Well, yeah, correct.
We are. Yeah. We are. We're putting a ton of money into it. I mean, we want to see a return.
Did you guys read that? That there were some people that actually thought that it's probably best for us to miss the World Cup so we could just reset? I mean, that's just crazy. But at some point, how do you do that on the fly? And I guess, do we have the talent and the tacticians and the coaches to do that?
Well, it certainly goes to the grassroots level. Nobody here is going to have the answer. I will say, and Matt brought up a nice point to me earlier, that, you know what, I want to see us kind of become less sensitive. Don't you think we're a little sensitive sometimes? Don't
you
think we
that
need...
I don't have the answer to U.S. men's soccer?
Well, I think you might. At the table, you're probably the smartest of the four people. But
no.
But I do sometimes... I don't know. There's a lot of elements that somehow we have to cultivate. Not in every city, but certainly in Houston, we need healthy pressure. We need more pressure. We need people being called out. We need real questions around the country being... talked about. Taylor Twellman brought that out on the show last night that, you know, it's no different than anything a lot of people have been saying for a lot of years, but it's good that other people are saying it. You got to bring some of this onto the table. So, as you mentioned, Matt, if we're plowing all this money into player development in MLS, and that is the future, MLS clubs developing players here, academies, and all this wonderful stuff we talk about, so who's actually spending money? How much money is each club putting into it? Because we quickly find out who's really serious about it and who isn't serious about it. So I wish there was more transparency because I think it's healthy. I think it pushes people. I think consequence is positive. And I don't think we have enough consequence. And we're too busy trying to deflect or protect, and I think that is an area in this country that we have to grow. We don't have any real critical people here in Houston when it comes to criticizing our two pro teams. I'm sorry, Janine, I'm going to say that, but it's the truth. Has anybody come up to you this year and said, Janine, Becky, you stunk. You didn't have a good game. No, of course not. It's a love fest, okay? And we're not going to grow if it's a love fest 99% of the time. Matt Peterson.
Yeah, I agree. I think soccer is the one sport where winning and losing is so ambiguous. You can have a good day, a bad day, the result. In the other sports, I think the fans are just smarter in some ways. Like a football coach can't go up after a bad loss and say, oh, well, we got unlucky in the trenches and, you know, our quarterback had a bad day and this and that. Like the fans.
Your
know
favorite
better.
Word, unlucky.
Yeah. And there's some words that are in soccer. I mean, I played it. We used it. I used it in practice. The words that are starting to drive me nuts as a broadcaster, as a fan, unlucky, deserve better, these sort of kind of conditioning things after a game. I say, imagine Russell Westbrook losing on a fourth quarter shot and saying we were unlucky tonight. He wouldn't say that. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, the most competitive people you think of, Roger Federer, Venus Williams, all these people that are great athletes, you don't think of them saying I was unlucky today or we deserve better. But it's a soccer thing.
We deserve more.
A team goes on the road, they bunker, they lose on a last minute goal, and then afterwards their coach or the player unlucky. Says we were unlucky, deserve better. I'm like, no,
but
you
this
lost
is,
the game.
This is common language in all our pro
yes,
soccer leagues.
Exactly.
By coaches and players. It's a common language. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a break here because Tyler's telling me time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask each one of you, can't use those two phrases, phrases you want eliminated from the world of soccer. And you know what mine is? My bad.
My bad.
My bad.
How many kids are at parks yelling, my bad, when they make a bad pass? Shut up and keep playing. You don't have to tell us. We already know it's bad. All right, we're going to take a break. Bud Light break here. Things go better with Bud. We know that. Great friends in Bud Light. Time to get out to the Dynamo game this weekend. $5 back on the tickets. That will go to the Harvey Relief Fund. So this is an important game. And I would just echo, you don't have to be a soccer fan to come out this weekend. Be a part of the game on Saturday as a sports fan, as somebody who cares about Houston, who's somebody Houston strong, who's somebody that was helpful to your neighbors or spent today ripping out soggy insulation. You guys deserve to come out to the game. It's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. We'll come back more, and we're going to find out. We're going to eliminate language that we don't want ever heard again from the world of soccer.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, nothing goes better together than great friends in Bud Light. And we've got great friends here in studio tonight. Janine Becky of the Houston Dash, Matt Peterson, play-by-play man of the NWSL and USL. Used to be the Dynamo radio man back in the day, calling many good games on the radio for the Houston Dynamo. And Bogdan Passat of What's the Score? Which I remember being on that show down at HCC,
we had some,
right?
Some fun times with that, yeah.
Good times with that defunct show. You had a heck of a nice set down there, too, I remember. Yeah. We remember that tonight it's not about parties, it's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So we're looking for words we want to eliminate out of soccer. We've said unlucky. We are picking also, what was the one you had, Matt?
Deserve better.
Deserve
unlucky.
Better.
And deserve better.
Yeah.
Janine, do you have one? Did you come
I
up with
I have a
one?
Phrase that is used in the game I say all too often, so I'm going to be a hypocrite here. And it drives me crazy when people yell at you to keep the ball. Because I'm like, oh, that's I didn't want to keep the ball. That was the goal of the game, is not to keep the ball. Why are you telling me to keep the ball? I do it too. So I am being a hypocrite right now, but it drives me up a wall when people yell that at me.
All right. MP?
Well, I'm going to go positive here because I already went negative before the break. And I'm going to give just a big picture positive about what I've enjoyed about watching a lot more NWSL this year. So some positives about the women's game that I enjoy, okay?
Thank you.
Number one, they don't
So
argue.
You're flipping my question
yeah,
on me.
Yeah, because
basically.
I already went negative before
so
the break.
I thought this was my show. Matt Peterson comes in here one night and wants to take
but
it over.
You might agree with this because
you'd be a good politician.
You watch a lot of women's soccer. I think you might agree.
Wait a minute. You and me argue all the time about coaches that don't answer questions.
I know.
And now you're not answering my question.
Okay, but take this or leave
okay,
it.
Okay, let's do it.
Janine,
no, I want to hear about
here
women's
the things
soccer.
I like about women's soccer after watching a lot more of it this year.
Yep.
They don't argue calls. Like a girl will get a penalty called against her, a red card.
No divers.
They walk away. No, they don't argue.
Yep.
Men's game, mass confrontation over the smallest thing. Girl gets a red, she takes it, she walks away. Penalty, same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's one big one. Another one, just more open style. NWSL, see a lot of 4-3-3s. MLS at times, more so a few years ago, a lot of 4-5-1 versus 4-5-1. It's just a midfield war. the women's game.
We're turning the corner a little in MLS on that, though.
Yeah,
because there's more players that are game changers now.
So open style, they take the call and don't argue with it and play on, and
no divers.
They don't dive.
Very rare. There's occasional.
Who's a diver in the league? I know you're not going to reveal the source.
Not calling out.
All right.
Yeah, and just to payback on that, they let the skilled players get to play. Sam Kerr's have an unbelievable season.
Oh, man.
I've never seen a game where like the other team's trying to take her out of it just by fouling her.
Shea Groom?
Like, maybe. But the good players get to play. In the men's game, if you're having a good game, you're going to get fouled. Like, you're on two goals, they're going to foul you before you get the hat trick. Look what happened to Pulisic in the qualifiers. Like, in the ladies' game, Sam Kerr can have a 3 or 4 goal game. You can score a couple goals. Like, it's
waiting for that to happen.
Yeah,
some people are going to say, that might be naive, but I get it. That's good. No, I like all those points. And
I agree.
I do like the honesty that's in the women's game. All right, Bogdan?
Yeah, I'm second Matt there. I think there's something more pure, and I don't know if the guys just don't want to admit, but I enjoy watching Dash games a lot.
Thank you.
Every time I tune in, and I'm probably like the only guy. I look so weird on Facebook posting when I'm frustrated because you guys are losing, and I'm like, really, here we go again, especially in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Oh, here we go, the season. We've got some great players, and then we go 0-4, and I'm just like mad, and I'm like, I'm posting, and nobody's going to listen. But, yeah, there's something very innocent about the women's soccer. But I don't really have a negative term. We were talking during the break. I guess I hate that word, I'm square. You know, just, you know.
What do you mean I'm square?
Well, that's what, you know, when you play in the game.
Oh, like,
hey,
square?
Give me the ball. Yeah, I'm square.
Square pass. Square, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, the lateral pass. Well, we've seen a lot of lateral passes down here over the years. We're looking for more penetrating balls that turn defenses. No, we've seen those teams in MLS that, you know, pass the ball side to side. It's a god awful bore.
It's handball.
I understand it to set up play, or I understand it to manage games. But I'm trying to think. That was the Colorado Rapids against the LA Galaxy. It was everything lateral and midfield. And you're sitting on TV watching this, going, at what point will somebody, Janine, accept responsibility and try to play a pass that might have a little higher degree of difficulty and might turn a defense or turn a midfield? And you just sit there going, you know, why would anybody in Colorado pay to see that?
Keep the ball. Keep the ball.
Keep the ball.
Keep it.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what Colorado does in the future. Are they going to revamp it? I mean, how much of the game is about entertainment to you? I mean, don't we have to entertain also to make it work?
Oh, yeah. I've seen my fair share of sideways and backwards passing games, and just makes you want to pull your hair out a bit.
But don't you feel a responsibility every time you play that you're there also in some ways as an entertainer?
Because, definitely, yeah.
Look, that's what puts people in the seats. Mm-hmm. People want to be entertained, right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw over our 6-game unbeaten streak, attendance just up and up. Because the word was out, the Dash is doing well.
Playing well, scoring good goals.
Exciting to watch, yeah.
And just to prove that I paid attention, I think last season you guys lost so many games in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I actually did a stat that, I mean, it was just maddening.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I was like, are you kidding me? Just park the bus in the last 10 minutes. I don't know, foul people.
Matt, can you imagine a World Cup without Argentina?
Yeah, I was looking at the South American table the other night.
Peru's
in fourth. Argentina's on the brink. Colombia or Chile, they've won the last two Copas, and they seem like one of the more consistent teams down there. They would miss it right now, which would be a shock. There's always one or two big teams that seems to miss it down there because it's so hard to make it. But I think Argentina will get it done. Fifth place goes to a playoff with Australia, so very winnable playoff.
Do you guys imagine a World Cup without Lionel Messi? Yeah. I mean, think of the sponsorships. Even in our case here in the United States, think of the loss of momentum, because we've been to a World Cup every time since 1990, and think of the sponsorship aspect of it all.
Anyway. It's a lot of damage. A lot of damage, I think, also to the growing TV ratings and everything. I think that's always been talked about during the World Cup. It almost seems to be the measuring stick for the naysayers. Oh, look, you still don't draw well. But it's been increasing ever since.
You know, when we did the World Cup, so I did most of my World Cups on TV, and 1 year I did it on the radio, 2010. And our station here, ESPN, took a ton of World Cup games. I went through them with, at the time, Dave Tepper of Gal Media. We picked out the games we wanted to air. And it blew it through the roof on the radio because wow. people were getting in cars. And it was an incredible eye-opener to soccer slash radio.
I do miss that in the U.S., more soccer on the radio. I feel that there's just not enough of it. I'd love
you
to
can go to
Sirius.
You can get Sirius. And you can listen to this show every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Bogdan. Are you telling me you haven't been? So you're going to Dash Games, but you're not listening to Soccer Matters. Is that
soccer
right?
Matters to me. That's why I go to Dash Games.
But I'm saying you don't listen to our show, a hardened soccer guy?
And that was a good interview with Lalas last night.
Okay, so you listened last night.
Can I play an excerpt from your World Cup?
Do it.
That was a goodie.
They're going to have to fucking regroup. I mean, excuse me, regroup. Where'd that come from?
Where was that from?
I
never said that.
Shows y'all did.
I never said that. Let me hear that one more time. What did I say?
They're going to have to fucking regroup. I mean, excuse me, regroup. Where'd that come from?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Were you off?
Yeah, you know why I remember that? That was because we were in a pack bar. The U.S. had just gotten a good result, and the first caller was some negative Nelly, right? Weren't you there with me, Tyler?
No, I was at the station whenever it happened. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
That's
not a good
after
word,
the Ghana game.
What's that?
That was after USA-Ghana, I think.
Yeah, and somebody called to, you know, it was just a spectacular emotional win, and somebody called in to go totally negative, the very first caller. And, I mean, the calls are just going everywhere. All right, Janine, tell me about North Carolina Courage. Four games to go. What's on the mind of the Houston Dash?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster season for anyone that follows the league or our team specifically. So, yeah, I mean, obviously with the weather that's hit us and obviously put a little bit of a damper on what's been going on. They had to postpone our first game from the Courage. So we're heading out to North Carolina this weekend. Obviously an extremely talented side, so it'll be a challenge for us. But great facility, great atmosphere, and they're number one on the table right now. So I think for players like myself and a lot of players on our team, these are the games you get excited for.
Janine, thank you very much for coming in tonight. Great job on all the fundraising. Enjoy watching you play since your college days. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Janine Becky, Houston Dash. Matt, real quick one to finish it off tonight. Matt Peterson.
Yeah, just for anyone that wants to help volunteer, I know a lot of us have felt helpless, but the thing I've heard is marathon, not a sprint. There'll be plenty of time to help out with recovery efforts over the next few months. So if you haven't done anything yet, there'll be chances to do so.
Bogdan, 10 seconds.
All right, how about we get an ownership group and purchase the Dynamo and the Dash? Local.
Wow, you dropped that at the very end of the show here. There's no response to that one right now. RedCross.org, Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, Dynamo, Colorado, $5 per ticket going to the Dynamo Relief Fund for the Greater Houston Community Foundation. I'm Glenn Davis, and our thanks to all the guests. Good night, Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central next week. Our thanks to Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.